come to think again about God's word that we've heard read to us already. It'd be helpful if you'd turn in the Bible again to page 171 in the New Testament.
So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so page 170. Corinthians 12, and we read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter. I was reading the other day some quotes from Samuel Johnson and decided I don't really like him, but one interesting quote, I thought, I wonder what you think of this. He observed, "No two people can be half an hour together, but one shall acquire an evident superiority over the other." No two people can be half an hour together, but one shall acquire an evident superiority over the other. Do you agree with that observation? I'd like to think it wasn't the case in my...
We need this one, do we?
Is this...
Just not working. Right. Thank you. I'd like to think it wasn't the case in my conversations that I became either evidently superior or inferior. I don't know which is worse, but I fear all too often it does work one way or the other. And I guess you probably know what I'm talking about from your conversations as well. Human beings have a natural tendency to be competitive. Not just, I hope people enjoyed the cake I baked, but was my cake better than all the other cakes? Not so much did my sermon build people up and help them know God better as was my sermon better than other preachers' sermons. It can be an ugly thing. And it was there in the Corinthian church when Paul wrote this letter. People were using their gifts and serving the church, but for the wrong reasons and with destructive effects. Some of the wrong reasons for serving, for doing good things in the church, might be something like trying to perform better than others, trying to earn the approval of others, trying to run away from our pain, trying to remedy our guilt, trying to impress God. And then if those are our reasons for serving, we're thinking about ourselves. We're not free to think about others. And our service is bound to leave us ourselves actually burned out and bitter in the end. And the Bible's answer to this that we've read this evening is to how and why we should serve in the church is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Follow it in the Bible with me. Verse 12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with the church." Did you notice the error in what I read there? Andrew Corns, please will you read out to us what it says on the screen?
Sometimes we think we know what the Bible is going to say, and so we read it as if it said what we thought it was going to say instead of actually reading it.
Thank you. Pretty good. You spotted one of the three mistakes on there.
Okay.
So everyone see the repeated words several times within that passage that we just don't notice as we're reading it. And Andrew did pretty well to spot one of those. A blessing to the church that our vicar is such a careful reader. But you see, even the experts have to watch out and read carefully. And one of the things I'm really grateful for in Andrew's model of ministry, actually, is his careful reading of Scripture. And there's so much to be grateful for. And these 10 years that I've had in Crowborough have, I think, set me up well in many ways for future ministry through observing Andrew's model. So thank God for that. But sometimes we read, when we read the Bible, we think we know what it's going to say, and so we read it as if it said what we thought it was going to say instead of actually reading it. So the Bible's not written to trick us, but sometimes it catches us out, and we should pay special attention when it says what we're not expecting. So look again at the end of verse 12, which I misread. It doesn't say so it is with the church, which is what I would have expected it to say. It says, so it is with Christ, and then goes on to talk about the people of Jesus as the body of Christ. Do you see just how fundamental it is to belonging to Christ, that we are part of the body? That's him. Jesus still has a body here on earth. If the church is the body of Christ, belonging to the church in a true sense means belonging to Jesus. People sometimes talk about being okay with Jesus but having a problem with the church. But there's only one way to get right with Jesus. Look at verse 13. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. The only way to get right with Jesus is by his Spirit bringing us to say Jesus is Lord, to put our trust in him, to receive forgiveness from him, and him giving us forgiveness and new life, filling us, drenching us, baptizing us in the Spirit. And so all true Christians are members of the one body of Christ. And true service in the church has to flow from that. It has to be motivated by the gospel. So as we aim to become a church that serves better together, let's keep the saving good news of Jesus at the heart of it. And of course, not see serving as an alternative to focusing on the gospel. It's been said that 100 religious people knit together by good administration and active works of service are no more a church than 11 dead men lying together in the same coffin are a football team. It's the Spirit of Jesus that makes the church the body of Christ. So here are three things to avoid in our attitude to serving together. Three things to avoid if our life comes from the Spirit and he gives us different gifts. Look at verse 14, and the first thing to spot is no inferiority. Verse 14, indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. We do sometimes hear this, sadly, in All Saints. Some of us compare ourselves and our gifts with others, and then we feel we don't match up and therefore don't belong. I'm not as academic or as educated as everyone else here. I just don't belong. Or I'm not as outgoing and confident. I'm not comfortable in large groups of people. I don't belong. Or I'm afraid of being in the spotlight. I don't belong. How sad that some people feel like that. And how sorry I am for my part in making people feel like that. We sometimes make this worse when we use expressions like going into the church to mean ordained ministry and give the impression that only the clergy are the church. Jonty went into the church when he was 24. No, I was born in a Christian family. I've been in the church all my life. So if somebody else is not in pastoral ministry, or somebody explores the possibility of full-time ministry and it turns out not to be right for them, does that make them less a part of the church? Of course not. Several people in All Saints are going through the Church of England selection process at the moment, and if any of them end up not being recommended for training, does that mean that they don't belong? Of course not. They're just as valid a member of the church and have an important role to play. It just may not be the role that they were thinking about. But not being recommended for that particular ministry of church leadership doesn't mean they're unsuitable for ministry. There are other ministries that God will want them to do. So if you're feeling, I can't lead a Bible study like my house group leader can, or I can't preach like Mark Ashworth. Well, don't worry about it. You're still a member of the body of Christ if you know Jesus as Lord, and you have a part to play. Those people that you compare yourself with can't do some of the things you can do. And so another thing to conclude from this passage, observe from this passage, is no cloning. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. If the whole body were an eye, that's a grotesque idea, isn't it? How would it walk about? How would it do anything? All it could do is see. Useless. Just like if the whole church were preachers and could do nothing but preach, we wouldn't actually manage to be all here at the same time to hear them preach. And even if we could, nobody would have turned the heating on or cleaned the place or set the chairs out or made the coffee. There'd be no music, no prayers, just a sermon. And none of us would be listening anyway. We'd all be preaching. So thank God for making us all different. And do pray for the PCC, the Church Council, as they draw up and finalise the person profile for our next vicar after Andrew leaves. There are some characteristics that we want the next vicar to share with Andrew that are non-negotiable things. Personal godliness and integrity, clear grasp of the gospel, being driven by the Bible rather than just using the Bible in his teaching. But we don't want him to be a clone of Andrew. There are some things that are less important and some things that are irrelevant and some differences that would be helpful. And we don't want the next, if we don't want the next vicar of the church to be a clone of Andrew, how much less do we want the whole church to be a clone of Andrew? Can you imagine it? Or imagine if everyone in the church were just like me. Or no, before you do that, imagine if everyone in the church were just like you. Maybe you've been feeling, if you were honest, it would be a lot better if everyone else were more like you. If they could communicate as sensitively as you do, if they could be as reliable as you are and not forget things, if they could be as laid back as you are and not be so uptight. But as soon as we start to think about those feelings, we realize how absurd they are, how disastrous if everyone were just like you. And now you said that, now we've said that, we don't need to imagine the church full of people like me. Put that image out of your mind before it's too bad to cope with. And third, no superiority. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honourable, we clothe with greater honour, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honour to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honoured, all rejoice together with it. Well, I hope if any of us have been looking down on others for being different, that we're hearing the rebuke of this passage. God has not made us all identical, and we don't wear our underpants over our faces. So different people have different ministries within the church. Some people can't stand being up front. They exercise more personal encouragement. Some people don't appear to be achieving much in their Christian service, but God does not see the same way we see. Some are quietly making a very big difference. Maybe they feel weak. Maybe they feel useless, but they're the people God uses in some extraordinary way. So the gifts we've been given are gifts. Gifts given to us for the benefit of the body, not to make us look good. And so if I have a useful gift, I can't boast because I didn't make it, I was given it. If I have a small gift, that's not something to worry about. It's what God in his goodness chose to give me for the benefit of the body. Either way, let's stop thinking so much about ourselves and our gifts and get on with using them for the benefit of the body. We need to get away from the spiritual one-upmanship and competitiveness that seems to come with our sinful nature and see ourselves as members of a body. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The point is not so much what these particular gifts are as that there are different gifts given to different people and not to everybody. Now, here are two questions the Bible doesn't encourage us to ask that you or I might be itching to ask this evening. First, how important am I in the church? Well, that's a bad question. Since the announcement that I'm going to be rector of Barthampton and Claverton, you wouldn't believe how many times I've been asked what's the difference between a rector and a vicar. And I love to hear people tell Andrew, a rector is more important than a vicar. But of course, that's being silly. If I ask this question, how important am I in the church? If I get the answer, you're most important, I'll be proud and less useful, like the I in verse 21. But if I get the answer, you're less important than others, I might also get a less useful attitude, like the foot in verse 15. The answer is that we are all important because we all belong to Christ and we all have a part to play. And second, unimportant question to ask or not to ask is, what is my gift? Many people's assumption is that I can't use my gift till I know what it is. And we can actually have an idea of what God has made us good at doing by looking at what Rick Warren calls our shape, and you may remember from 40 Days of Purpose, our spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. But be careful asking the question, because we don't want people to be saying in the church, because I'm a foot, we must all play football. Or, I'm gifted at playing the bagpipes, so we must have the bagpipes in all our services. No, not every gift has to be exercised at all times and places. The purpose of the gifts is they're not given so they must be used, but they're given to build up the body. So if we can play the bagpipes, we might offer to the director of music and accept it if he says, not in every service, because we want to be able to hear some of the other instruments, but maybe at the Burns Night Supper. And so more important things to look at, along with our shape, those things on the screen, are the opportunities and the needs for using gifts. Don't put all your effort into identifying what your gift is. Get on and use the gifts that are needed, and God will give what's needed. Now, I don't think my liver is conscious of the fact that it's a liver and that its gift is for cleaning my blood or whatever it is livers do. It just gets on with the job. And so my liver benefits my health without ever identifying its gift. So I think it's a bit like that in many ways, that we can just get on with serving and find that God is giving us gifts and we're using them without our identifying them and being self-conscious in it. Those of you who know Becky may have noticed that she's not really an upfront person. She doesn't like to stand up and speak. In France, she won't speak French. She gets me to do all the talking. So I was quite surprised in the hospital after our car accident in 2006, when we'd been treated separately and she'd been forced to speak, that they later asked me to fetch her as an interpreter for me because her French is so much better than mine. In shops in this country, she knows what she wants, but she gets me to do all the talking and ask all the questions. She wouldn't describe herself as a socially outgoing person, and nobody would really say that's her gift. But when there's somebody new in church at the 10:45 in All Saints, Becky is often the first person to spot them. If I'm to hand, she'll send me off to speak to them, but if I'm not, somehow God gives her the boldness to go up and start a conversation, something she never normally does in other situations. But she's not thinking at that moment about whether she has that gift or not. She sees the need and the opportunity and goes for it. And God gives her the gift for building up the body, welcoming new people. So as Becky and I leave, can I urge everyone to follow her example in that and think less about your own gifts and more about what you can do to serve and help. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the gift of the Spirit bringing us into the body of Christ. Thank you for the privilege of belonging to him and serving him. Thank you for making us all different. Thank you for richly equipping this part of the body of Christ at All Saints and St. Richard's with the gifts we need. Thank you for the people who enable our meetings in these buildings and help us feel welcome. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the reading and teaching of the Bible and for the people who enable us to see and hear clearly through the audiovisual ministry. Thank you for those who look after babies and teach children and run activities for all ages that encourage us to follow Jesus. Please help us who are members of his body to play our part. Help us to see where we're needed and to step in. Help us to make the most of the gifts you've given us, not for our benefit, but for others. And help us to think less about ourselves and our own gifts and more about the needs of others and the opportunities for us to make a difference. Help this church in a time ahead with fewer staff leaders to see every member playing its part and building up the body. All for Jesus' glory. Amen.